So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before your throne. We thank you. It is a throne of grace. We thank you, Father, that it is a welcoming place and that it is a place where we can rest in you. Lord, I pray specifically for every person that's before me this night and those that will listen on a CD. I pray, Father, that you would use this night to touch hearts deeply, that you would minister to the areas of their hearts where it have been wounded, that have been broken, that have been darkened by the pain and the shame and the stains of things that have happened in their lives. Lord, I pray specifically that you would remove the arrows and the things that have hindered many people in their ability to walk with you, walk with others, and walk on into being your full son and daughter. So, Lord, we pray for you to move by your Spirit. We remind you, Satan, you're bound. You have no authority here to hinder, distract, confuse, or cause any slumber or sleep. Lord, we just pray for clarity in your Holy Spirit to come now and bring revelation to each one. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to accomplish this night by your Spirit. Rick and I yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. Speak through us. Minister through us what each person needs to hear, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, can you tell me that as a result of coming to these lessons, as a result of reading or listening to something, that God has done something in your life to make you more aware of his love since you started? If you could raise your hand that he's done something in some way, shape, or form, I'd like you to just raise your hand. All right. Well, I am excited because you know what? It is a process, and he is so patient and long-suffering with us. But he really does want to get rid of the stuff that hinders so that you can receive everything that he has for you.
I want to make one more comment about that. I was encouraged, and I guess a whole bunch of not everybody here was encouraged by those testimonies.
Absolutely, those, yeah, definitely.
There was something there for everybody to get a hold of. That revelation that they both had was from God, and God wants all of us to get revelation like that. So your sharing a testimony might be an encouragement to somebody else that's dealing with the very same problem that you've been dealing with. So that's why we want to have these testimonies, too.
Okay, now I have to get my props. And this is a very interesting object lesson. Believe me. Only God knows how this is going, because he gave me the objects, and then he didn't let me prepare anything about it. So whatever you hear will be directly from the Spirit of God. I want you to know that we all come into this world, okay, and we oftentimes put on very early in life a pair of glasses that we filter everything through. And we see things differently than they really are. Sometimes you may have heard that somebody sees life through a pair of rose-colored glasses, and everything is always cheery and hunky-dory, and everything is just great in their life. Okay, other people, I think, put on a pair of glasses that are very focused on the dark side. They can be negative about all sorts of things that are happening around them, in their life, in their home. And it's like they zero in on everything that's wrong in life. So we got those two extremes, how God wants you to begin to say, okay, what kind of glasses do you put on in your life? How do you view life? Sometimes you may change glasses. I know. The reason these are rose colored is because they have all these different colors on them. And this one is just one color and black on the front. Sometimes I switch glasses. I can be looking at everything in the bright side and be really excited about other things. But if I'm not careful, I might start being able to point out that little black spot on that big piece of white paper. 99% of it is white, but that little dot is what I focus on. And that's probably what I do towards myself. I have a tendency to look at all those one or two or three little black dots rather than all the things that are right about me. So, we got two pairs of glasses about the way we may or may not view life. And I'm sure we could come up with more pairs of glasses. But this is the two kinds that God really spoke to my heart about. But But then the other thing he told me is that we all have a heart. Okay? Now this is a smushy heart. It's soft. It's pliable. It's bright red. It looks like it's really alive and beating well. We'll make it beat. This is really funny, God. All right, I've never done that before to this heart. Anyway, this is a beating heart. But this is what happens. A little child comes into the world, and this little child is full of life and excited about all the things that it's going to experience. But all too often, it very early on begins to experience some of the things of this world that are far less than beautiful. Get to all of these things, so. Anyway, I'm going to put my heart sort of down in this hand. So you're going to have to realize I can't pick it up back again real easily. But this heart is subjected to all sorts of things. Every day, your heart is subjected to different things in the world. Now, I asked my husband. He went out to, he was going to bury the garbage, and we have a compost heap. But the Lord told me, and literally, I heard a month ago, he said, too many of my children, literally, like had a garbage truck come and back up and dump all sorts of crud into their life. So that their life is coated with all sorts of garbage early on. It may come in the form of a parent who has been already wounded himself or herself. And they are in so much pain that there is abuse and there is anger. Or there is very harsh words. There may be all sorts of stuff that people say around you. It may be your relatives. It may be friends. It may be people that you interact with at school. But as you grew up, if you didn't recognize that they were putting garbage in your life because you just thought, well, I guess that's who I am. I deserve garbage. I deserve what I'm getting. Because you see, very early on, we can think, if this is happening to me, there must be something in me that's messed up. There must be something that I've done, that it's my fault that this is happening. And therefore, you just accept the garbage. Because you believe that you deserve the garbage, or the garbage is just a part of your life. It becomes so connected to you that you don't think that there's anything wrong with your heart. You think that that's what should be happening. That's what you expect. You come to expect more garbage to be dumped into your life. You expect people to be mean. You expect people to reject you. You expect the people to shame you. You expect to have all sorts of garbage put in you, and you don't do anything about it. And you know what? We do leave the garbage there if we do then focus on the garbage, as well as if we don't forgive. If something happens and we don't forgive, then all that garbage just stays there. Now, the Lord told me to get some dirt. Now, it was dirt except the melted bowl. The bowl that it is in can also symbolize how we can melt. I started thinking about it. How we can melt and shrink and literally become smaller. Our heart almost shrinks. You know, this bowl is shrunk because of being near heat. But we can shrink and be diminished. I mean, when that child, when I was first having that heart beating, it had all sorts of potential. It had all sorts of abilities that God had placed, all sorts of gifts. But you know what? When things happen and the garbage comes in, you know what happens? We have a tendency to be diminished. Now, we just let people dump their dirt on us. We let them continue to say mean things to us. And we begin to expect that that's what life's going to bring us. Life gets darker and darker. And now if you think about it, right here, if I dump all this dirt on here, it's not all going to stay on here, but it's close. Ultimately, that heart's getting pretty heavy. It's got a bunch of stuff. The Lord didn't tell me to get rocks. I could have gotten rocks. Because I think we got rocks that can try and really weigh our hearts down. all the experiences that we have that are stored in the back of our mind are like the big rocks that are weighting us down. Because if you never deal and acknowledge that it hurt, that is still there. Time does not heal. Only acknowledging that something hurt heals. And I'm telling you, if you don't acknowledge that it hurt when it went in, you can't get rid of the dirt, the rocks, and the garbage. You have to be willing to say it hurt. You have to be willing to let God bring it out. And you know what tonight? Tonight is a night to let it go. And tonight is a night to get rid of the stuff that's weighing you down and making you feel dirty and ashamed and all the other things that would go with it. Now, I was hoping I had some Drano, but I couldn't find any. Didn't have any Drano because Drano's pretty poisonous. But unfortunately, we ingest a lot of things that are poisonous to us. We take people's words into our heart. And so God said, yeah, real kill of wasp and hornet killer, that's poisonous enough. So we'll just sort of spray some poison. Yeah, if you take the words that people say into your life, it absolutely weights your heart down. In fact, with all this stuff that's going on with my heart here, I think part of my heart's probably dying. Part of it's being, I don't know what else to say, except it's definitely not able to beat as well. This heart's getting pretty coated with all sorts of stuff. Ooh, stuff stinks. It can smell, too. I mean, let's face it. If you get all this stuff and you never get it off of your heart, wow, it's probably really going to start to smell. So that, you know, sort of like that love tank that we, you know, pain tank that we talked about that should be filled with love that you get bumped, that, well, it sloshes out and it's painful to other people. But you know what? Ultimately, you've got all this stuff in your heart. It's going to impact how you interact with other people. If they get too close to you, they might be aware that you have a little bit of an odor. You might smell. But most of all, I'm going to say is you start to put a wall. We talked about last week with rejection how you put walls around your heart sometimes to protect yourself. And oftentimes we try to protect our heart more than we do our physical body. But tonight I just want you to recognize is that if you know some of this stuff is here, you try and cover it up. So you don't want anybody to know that it's there. You're not getting rid of it. Okay, so you can just use this and you just cover it all up. Hey, it looks sort of pretty. It looks a lot better than all that dark stuff. Oh, you got all this stuff, and this could be walls. Oh, this could be the way you respond. Hi, I'm just great. Oh, and somebody asks you how you are. Oh, I'm fine. I heard somebody say that's the Christian four-letter word. Fine. Nobody really wants to know because they wouldn't know what to do if you really told them you were hurting.
Right.
But anyway, you got to function in life some way. So it's sort of like we try to cover up the things in our heart that aren't right so that nobody knows they're there.
Very nice.
That heart looks a lot better with it being covered up with white foam than it did before. If you're looking through at that heart through this dark pair of glasses, you're still, yeah, it's still underneath there. I know it's still there. And you still are so aware of all the things in your heart and in your life that aren't right. And yet, you've tried to cover it up. You've tried to do it your way. And you know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work because at some point in time, this heart is going to have some surgery in order to keep living. And we've got lots of people walking around this earth with hearts just about like this that need to have some Holy Ghost God surgery because you can't keep walking this way. You can say, oh, it looks great. I'm just fine. And you can pretend for so long. You can look great on the outside. And I've had two or three people tell me recently, you know what, I go down the street and I see these people and they look like they're fine on the outside, but on the inside they're hurting. They're dying. They're struggling. I mean, because with all this stuff, do you think this just might interfere with you realizing that God loves you? Do you think God's love can get through all of this stuff easily? It's there. You know what? That heart is sensitive, but ooh, God's trying to touch you, and even God getting close might hurt because you're not sure you want him to touch anything. But you can portion off part of your heart. You can end up getting your heart to be numb and removed so that you don't even know. I mean, you can get to the place where that heart's got so much stuff on it, you might not be sensitive anymore to what's happening in your life. You might not even know. If I put something hot here and get it close to my heart, you know what? You might say, well, I can't even feel it. Because, you see, we shut down, we close off, and we stop being sensitive to the Spirit of God when we've got all this stuff. So, rather than just pretending that it's not there, and rather than looking just at the dark stuff, God wants to bring some real cleansing to your life. He wants to pour in His love, because it goes along with what we heard earlier. He approves us. He accepts us. And we may not know whether He's going to take us and move the mountain, take us over the mountain, or take us around the mountain. But you know what? His love will allow us to go wherever we have to go so that He can do what He wants to do. I believe the key to Him filling us and getting all the stuff out of our hearts that is painful so we can receive the love is when we give forgiveness. When we begin to forgive what happened to us. When we begin to forgive what others have done to us. When He shows you something that the Holy Spirit brings to your heart tonight, I'm believing that you're going to let Him pour in that love by you choosing to forgive that other person. I am believing that one of the biggest things you may need to do tonight is choose to forgive yourself. You know what? You're going to need to forgive moms and dads. We're going to talk about mother and father issues tonight. But the biggest thing I want you to recognize is that you're responsible for your response to what happened. And while it was not right what may have happened, your parents or others may have caused your heart to get in this shape, you chose to hold on to the things that hurt. You allowed them into your heart and you allowed those things to infect your heart or cause your heart to be hardened. And so tonight, I'm just encouraging you, ask the Holy Spirit now to remove all the stuff, all the pain, all the shame, all the things that would hinder your heart. And it's not probably all going to get dealt with tonight. That's what we talked about. But you know what? This heart looks a lot healthier than that other one. And even if you don't get rid of all this stuff, it's okay. God isn't in the business of doing open heart surgery on you as well as... I got this. This will be okay. He's not going to do open heart surgery and operate on your leg and on your arm and on your head all at the same time. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, He will do the surgery in whatever part of your life, in your heart, He needs to do tonight. And then, hopefully, you will let Him do some more in the weeks and months and years to come. But tonight, I just would like to believe that you're ready to let God cleanse your heart of the pain, the shame, the rejection, the hurts, the words, the labels, and all of the things that have caused your heart to feel like it was weighted down with who knows what. Because He has a good plan for each one of you. He is such a good God. And He is so excited about each one of you that He does not want you to stay stuck in the muck, in the dirt, and the stuff of the past. Because you see, when you choose to forgive and let go of the past, then you are free to walk into the bright future that He has for you. But if you don't acknowledge the pain of the past, He can't cleanse your heart so it can be beating again with a great heart of love for Him and you to enjoy, as well as you then to begin to share it with others. So I pray that tonight you will experience. You need to get back in touch with the little child that was hurt. And because a lot of adult pain is wired to something that happened to you as a young child. Now, the adult can forgive your parents. But if you remember a specific time when something happened, that it's the same pain, but it was first time you experienced that pain, or the first time you experienced those emotions, was back when you were a little child. And that's where, if you can get a hold of that little child that was hurt, that's when you will experience more forgiveness. You will experience more healing.
So many pieces to my life. Scattered all around, some of them are gone, and I know that I can't ever put them back together. Jumbled and unfold, who can really ever fit it all together? In a vision like a daydream that filters through your mind, I saw Jesus coming closer, holding all my hopes combined. He spoke with great compassion as he put one hand on me. And in his other hand he held what I could never see. Them all together, and there'll never be another one who can. He said, I've got all the pieces to your life.
Song. The first time I heard that, I was still in pieces myself, and it just was like electricity going through my body when he gets to the point in the song where he says Jesus had all those pieces in his hand and he had them all there to put back together again. And you may feel like that tonight. You may feel like part of you is missing tonight. And I believe that God, Abba Father, and the Holy Spirit are going to help you bring those pieces back together and fit them all together the right way in your life. There was one person that we ministered to that felt like her life was like a bunch of pieces that someone else tried to put back together again, and they were not in the right places. They were like puzzle pieces that were forced into positions that distorted the picture, didn't have a pretty complete picture. But God wants to rearrange all those puzzle pieces and put them together the right way so that the beautiful person, the beautiful creation that you are can come forth. The real you on the inside of you. Not the shaving cream covered heart that you saw in the object lesson that you tried, the false self that you tried to build around yourself. But God wants to set you free from that old images, those old hurts and pains, just as Tina shared. All she heard was one thing, and she began to believe it. She began to feel like that was who she was and identified herself with that. And we want to help you be set free. We're all on this journey towards home, a home that has an extravagantly loving Father that lives there, that has his arms open and wants to embrace us and hold us and comfort us and tell us that we're beautiful, tell us that we're strong, tell us that we have got what it takes to do it and to make it in this life. He wants to be there to be the Father that you never had, perhaps, growing up. He wants to reparent us. Some of what I'm going to share tonight is just the wounds that we received was from a lack of parenting. We weren't parented the way God had planned for us and wanted us to be parented. And so it left wounds and left us vulnerable, left us open to trying to deal with life any way we could. Now, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I had my lesson, we want to turn our hearts towards home. I want to keep coming back to that. Next session that we're going to have is all about coming home to Father. It's all about the prodigal son coming home and recognizing and realizing his real sonship was at home where Father was. It was where a loving Father was ready to greet him back and to leave that old orphan life style and that old orphan thinking behind and accept becoming a son in Daddy's house and receiving that sonship. So next week, some of those pieces may help start coming back together for you and begin to walk in a new light and a self-image of who you are. And Dunn Eldridge has a book out called Sacred Romance, and it really impressed my life. And his romance that he's talking about is a romance with Jesus as a bridegroom who is romancing us. He's trying to bring us in and win our hearts to be his bride. The church is to be the bride of Christ. And he talks about God wanting us to live in the big story, to live in the story of being the bride, being pursued, being loved. The three qualities, he says, of the romantic life is to have romance, intimacy, beauty, and adventure. It's all part of the romance, is the intimacy, the beauty, and the adventure. And that's what God wants us to experience in our lives. And I'm going to talk a lot more about that as part of becoming sons and what that looks like and what that's all about next week. So be sure to come back and then get the rest of the story. But unfortunately, because of the wounds, because of the hurts, the failures, the difficulties that we've had, we tend to choose to believe that there is no big story. And Satan tries to be the storyteller for us. And he tries to give us a story that he puts together, full of lies. And this, like Tina, the lie that she was stupid, that she wasn't able to do anything. The lie that you aren't beautiful. The lie that you couldn't do anything, that the words that your parents maybe spoke to you and you heard day after day and time after time, the responses they gave to you when you weren't able to do something right and they were frustrated or they were upset or they got angry or they punished you because you didn't do it right. All those things that start forming this lesser story, this small story that we tend to live in, and we tend to believe the lies. We tend to begin to think, well, this is all there is. This is as good as it's going to get. I'm just going to have to work with what I've got. And we start also looking at how people are responding to us because we don't like to be rejected and we don't want to have people reject us. So we start experimenting with these false images of ourselves. We start putting together a mask and a costume for ourselves. And we start trying things on and seeing how people respond to them. And maybe they laugh at us, or maybe they give us attention, or maybe they become our friend and our buddy because we do things a certain way and say, hey, that's a nice piece of costume there. I think I'll start wearing that. I'll start acting that way and being that way because somebody likes me that way and somebody accepts me. And some of the people get into gangs and begin to identify with that gang because there's somebody who's going to accept them for what they are at that point. And so we begin building this costume around ourselves and building this little story around ourselves and believing that's what life is all about. This is who I am. This is the way I'm going to walk through life now wearing this costume, because at least people won't know who I really am. They won't have an opportunity to possibly reject me. And this fear of being rejected becomes stronger and stronger as we don't receive the love, the acceptance, the assurance that we needed from our parents and at home. We begin to wear these other masks, and we begin to pursue a whole lifestyle that keeps us going in that direction. And it takes a lot of effort, and it's very difficult to keep the mask on. And there's always this fear of somebody finding out. There's always this fear of making a mistake, and maybe somebody will find out who I really am and reject me. And so you have to be very careful with how you respond. And so we all go to church on Sunday with our smiles and our happy face on, and we get positive feedback. Everybody likes this because we're saying we're fine. We say that life is great. We're just having a wonderful time. And yet, on the inside, we may be really hurting or may not have a very good opinion of ourselves, and we're hoping nobody finds out. But when you start doing this, just as Sue mentioned in her object lesson, our heart starts to die. We start separating ourselves from who we really are. We start building walls. There might be a part of you, because of the hurts and the pains that you received, or the words that were spoken to you, the way you were treated by your parents, you decided that that part of you didn't like. There may be a part of you that you built a wall between you and that person because you just don't like that person anymore. We heard a testimony of a woman set free who had a marriage for 28 years to a husband who was a pastor, and everybody from the outside thought they had this wonderful life, but she was hurting on the inside because when she was young, she was sexually and physically abused. She didn't have a very good opinion of herself. She turned to eating as a way of comforting that pain, and she got fat, and she was considered Fat Kathy. And so that was such a painful image that she just walled that off, and part of her was missing from her heart now. Just as Sue said, these pieces, we can separate ourselves. We start not liking that part of us, and so we just wall that off and we try to forget about it. We stuff it, we close the door on it and hope that nobody ever brings it up again. But God brought this wall up to her, and she asked God, well, what's this wall? And he says, well, this is Fat Kathy, and you've walled her off from part of your life. And he took the wall away, and she saw herself in that. And she had lost weight, she was attractive now, but she was just full of anger. She was just, the marriage was just falling apart. She was miserable because of part of her that was still wounded, this little girl that never had her heart healed. And she had to begin to accept Fat Kathy. She had to accept the fact that that little girl was hurt and wounded, and she had to begin to walk through the process of forgiving her parents and the process of getting rid of all those old images and all those old words and all the made fun of at school and all the things that the kids said to her as she was growing up, and begin to bring that heart back together, putting her heart back together. And now she's in a ministry. She's a beautiful, healed woman that is able to help other people get back in touch with maybe some of those parts of themselves that they had separated and walled off from their selves. John Eldredge talks about these wounds as like arrows. And I think it's really a good image to keep in the back of your mind. If you think about an arrow, it has these barbs. The whole idea of an arrow is to keep it stuck in the animal and wiggling around and cutting and slicing until it finally cuts enough vessels and it bleeds enough that it causes the animal to die. So the Indian, typically the Indians used these arrows. So they wanted something that would penetrate but also stay stuck. And so they put these little barbs and hooks on the edges of the ends of the arrow so that when it went in, it couldn't be pulled out very easily. The work that they wanted it to do, well, the animal ran away. It wouldn't run very far because the arrow was continually cutting and slicing on the inside of that body cavity until the animal bled to death and died. So that these wounds, these hurtful, painful things get stuck in our hearts, and it's hard for them to be pulled out. It's hard to get rid of them. And that was where we want to go tonight. We want to help you walk back to when those wounds happen and begin to pull those arrows out, begin to pull those painful memories and those painful times out and to set free from those. If you've ever watched the Western movies, I can't imagine what it was like to have somebody yank one of those arrows out, but it had to have been very painful because of those hooks on the edge that were dragging and pulling flesh with it as you pulled brought the arrow back out. Kind of analogy too is a hook with a barb on it. You want to stay the fish hooked on until you get into the boat. We're going to work on these arrows because if you leave those arrows in, just as Sue said, you begin to die. Your heart begins to die. You begin to lose heart, as John Eldredge talks about it. And we begin to be content with this lesser story. We begin to lose the vitality, the passion for life, the adventure, the desire to be intimate, the desire to experience love and experience all the things that God wants us to experience. And we get over into this lesser story that just drags us further and further down. Satan also wants us to believe that we are orphans, that we're separated from our Father. And if we have had enough painful experiences, either from our mother or for our father, we can pull ourselves away from them in the relationship, which is what I did when I was about 11 years old with my father. I can remember almost to the day when I made the decision that I was not going to experience the pain and the things from my brothers. I was not going to experience the rejection from my father. And I pulled inside myself. I pulled away from the relationship and became an orphan in my own home. And I lived at home and I was an obedient son and my mother just thought I was the most wonderful of her three sons, but I was an orphan. I had no relationship with my dad, no relationship with my mother as a result of what I chose to do. And so Satan tries to get us to believe this orphan thinking and these lies, and that's who we are, and that's where it's going to always be, and you're just helplessly, hopelessly flawed, and you're never going to be any different than that. The lessons that I hope that you read about the mother and father issues, I hope you took some time to read them, because I'm not going to have a lot of time to go over those different fathers and mothers and the pain that could have happened and the results of that, the problems that could have happened in your life. Because the one thing I didn't put in that lesson that I want to more focus on is I'm realizing that the more I've thought about it and the more we've ministered to different people and talked to different people, there's a number of people who have experienced those strong, painful types of fathers, the fathers that were really badly wounded themselves from their own childhood and so took it out on their children. Hurting people hurt other people, wounded people hurt other people. But there's also another group, and there might be a number of you in here tonight, who had basically good fathers and good mothers. You basically had a good home that you grew up in. You had some love expressed to you. you had a lot of good positive memories, but even in that kind of a home, there were some things that didn't happen. And because they didn't happen, they left wounds in your heart. And I want to just kind of focus more on that for a couple minutes. We talked about the type A wounds. When I did the lesson on wounding, I gave you a sheet of a whole list of type A wounds. And I hope you still have those in your book, and you might want to go back and take another look at those if you were one of those people that basically came from a good family. And maybe there were some things there that happened, because there's no perfect parents. There's no books out there that you become a parent by virtue of the fact that a child is born one day and suddenly you are going to parent this child, and you may not or have any instructions or how to do that. Like Sue and I, we just kind of trial and error muddled our way through. We made a lot of mistakes, and as a result we wounded our two boys in a number of different ways because we just didn't know any different. Did the best job we could, but it wasn't the best job that we should have done and would have done had we known any different. And so that's what I want to kind of focus in on, is some of the things that you may not have had happen that as a result have caused wounding in your life. The first one category is I call life skills. Now none of this is in your lesson, so if you want to take any notes on it, and Sue has any extra paper if you don't have it, or you can use the back of your question sheets that we've handed out to you. But there's this whole area of the how-tos of life. Did your mom and dad teach you the how-tos of becoming an adult? And this is an area where I just realized I fell flat on my face with our two boys, primarily because I didn't know any different, and also I was too shy or too drawn to really go there with them. But things like how to dress, how to take care of yourself and your cleanliness of your body, how to groom yourself, how to eat. If you're out in public, how to use silverware and how to use things. If you're in a more formal setting, how to eat a meal and not pick things up with your fingers and lick your fingers and do the things that other people might be offended by or laugh at you at because of that. And as a result, if you didn't get that training, chances are somebody may have made fun of you, or somebody might have pointed out what you were doing wrong or how dumb you looked, or well, why don't you take care of yourself or any better than that? And it can start to leave wounds in you as you go along. Or how to interact with the opposite sex. This was one where I really come back to a memory of a time with our one son, Jim. His first date, he was like 15, wasn't driving yet, so he asked me to drive. He actually got the courage up to ask a girl to some thing, a dance, I think it was, at school, high school. And so I drove over. He was very gentlemanlike because he watched me with Sue. He got out and went to the door, escorted her back, opened the door for her, and she got in the back seat of the car, and then he comes up and sits in the front seat with me. And I said, Jim, you know, you can't sit in the back with your date, you know. And it was a very clumsy moment for him. He realized it was too late now. He realized how foolish he probably looked to this girl that he had taken out on a date. And it was a very clumsy, and I'm sure it was a very wounding experience for him. He really felt really bad about it because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to interact with a girl and on a date, or what to do or what to say and how to carry on a conversation. And even more so, even in the whole area of sexual relationships, if you never had your parents teach you right and wrong and moral standards and setting standards for you and the things that you should or shouldn't do, you get out there and you start making mistakes, and things that can be very wounding and very painful to you happen just because your parents maybe didn't teach you how to do it the right way or how you should have been taking care of that. So it takes the clumsiness out of a child's life as they're growing up, and it also gives them confidence. That if they know what to do, they're going to likely to be a lot more confident and feel good about themselves, have a better self-image, and go out there and interact and have relationships and have fun and develop into the real man or woman that God wants them to be. And the second area is spiritual training. That should have started before you were even born, while you were still in your mother's womb. And depending on the circumstances of when the pregnancy came along, if you read your lesson, you realize that there's a lot of wounding that can go on just from the rejection there. If you were unwanted, the wrong sex, all those kind of things, that you may have started feeling rejected even before you were born. But a father should be speaking spiritual truths and the scriptures and blessing that child even before it's born. He needs to begin developing that spirit that's in that developing child in the mother's womb and bringing that child into life so that when that child comes into this world, it has an alive, awake, strong spirit. And it can deal with the things that are going on in the world. They have done some experimentation with this of fathers speaking to their children before they're born and then having a group where they didn't and comparing the behavior of the children after they're born. And the children who had this spiritual nurturing before they were born were much more peaceful, didn't have much of the crying or the difficulties all through their early years of growing up. And then as the child begins to develop, the father should have been training the child, should have been reading scriptures, praying with that child, praying over that child, beginning to help to teach them the Bible, the Old Testament. That was the model that the fathers taught their sons, the Old Testament, the Torah. They had to learn all the first five books of the Old Testament. They actually taught their sons to that whole first five books of the Old Testament. So all that development of the child as it's growing up and then bringing that child to a godly, Bible-based, believing church so that that child could also get nurturing and get training and begin to interact with other Christians and begin to experience positive relationships and positive training from other people in his Christian walk and development. And then the father should have been the one that leads his son or daughter to the Lord, introducing Jesus Christ to them. That's probably one of the most important roles that a father can play, is helping a child to know Jesus at a very young age, getting through life much more easily if they're saved from an early age and not have to deal with all the problems. When you develop a child's spirit and make them strong, then they're going to be able to resist temptations. They're going to be able to resist the lies. They're going to be able to resist the peer pressure. They're going to be the leaders because they have the confidence and they have the right direction to go in life, and they're going to be the ones that are going to help others and their peers to become more Christ-like and live things the right way. And they're not going to make a lot of bad choices. And if you've taught them how to reconcile, if they have stepped across the boundaries, if they haven't kept the moral standards that you have laid out for them, that's another area that a parent or father should be helping the child, is in a whole establishment of the moral standards that they should live by. And then how to reconcile that if they overstep those standards or break them. It just was going to help that child move into its sonship, which is another area that I'll talk about in a minute. Another whole place that father's role is to help the child develop basic trust. Sue talked on it very briefly. She didn't have a lot of time, but there's a whole bunch of things that a father should be doing to help the child to develop in their area of feeling safe and feeling like they can trust other people. The first people they learn to trust are their parents. Can they trust your word? Do you keep your word? Your actions? Do you create an environment where they can feel trusted and safe around you. A couple characteristics of someone who has been firmly rooted in basic trust is a capacity to hold your heart open even when someone else is wounded. It's not to close your heart off, not to withdraw, not to begin to respond to the pain in the wrong way. An ability to bounce back quickly when you've been wounded. An ability to feel okay about yourself, to value yourself, be free from guilt and shame. Oh, as I'm going through these, I want you to think about, did your parents, did your dad help you, and are you free from that, or did you deal with these kind of things growing up? Were you wounded in these areas because maybe you had a good father, but maybe he wasn't there to help you in development in some of these areas? Have self-confidence, you know, be able to walk out without fear, to take risks, to do new things, to try new things, to go out in the world and be more than a conqueror. An ability to relate to others and to have the courage to enter into give and take relationships. Not just all giving or not just all taking, but being able to interact in a give and take type of a relationship with someone else and being able to trust your heart to Abba, to Father God, and being comfortable in His love. And basic trust comes strongly from affection. And there's where most men have really fallen hard on their faces, and your fathers may have fallen that way as my dad did because he was a very passive father, is showing any affection. That nurturing, tender love, the gentle looks, the gentle voice, the telling you I love you, the hugs, the touch, the things that would communicate to you that this is a safe and a loving environment. The first person, the Bible says that David said, I learned to trust at my mother's breast. Well, mother does, those first years, help a child to begin to trust and to feel comforted and nurtured as she cuddles that baby, as it's nursing at her breast. But the first person beyond the mother that a baby experiences is his father. And the child begins to respond to other people the way that they were or were not received by their earthly fathers. If their earthly fathers felt uncomfortable with love or uncomfortable with this new baby, and that baby picks up on that spiritually. That baby learns to trust the other people by the way the father responded to that baby the first time he picked her up, because this is the first time the baby was taken away from its mother's comfort and nurturing, was when it was put in its father's arms. And so however the father received that child is the way that child is going to be able to interact and relate to other people later on in his life. So that can be very wounding if you didn't get that from your natural father. And some of the evidences of not having that basic trust in your life is you can't feel God's presence. And people, you see them in church. We have a wonderful worship service, anointed service, and we feel the presence of God. And it's just powerful. And you see these people like they're stone statues. They don't even clap. They don't move. They don't smile. They don't do anything. They're just standing there staring because they're having a hard time, and even in the presence of an anointed time of praise and worship or an anointed message from God, just experiencing God's presence in their life, because they just never received that love, that basic trust when they were real young growing up. Those first 6 years of life are very important to a child. And that first year is especially important to a young child developing how they are going to trust, how they're going to respond to other people, and how they're going to respond to God. That's how they were treated that first year, and then the first 6 years of their lives. Can't relate to other people spirit to spirit. There's difficulty having more than just surface level relationships. Being news, weather, and sports people, that's all I can really talk about with you, because I can't open my heart up. I can't be intimate with you. I can't share anything more than what is on the news or what's the most important sporting event. So you get a lot of men, especially, that can tell you everything about every sport and all these different teams and all these different players, but you never hear them talk anything about their own lives, about how things are going in their own hearts and opening up, this difficulty having relationships with other people. And just a feeling of anxiety, feeling about feeling at rest, or performance oriented. You feel like you have to do something to win someone other person's love. Or you're either compliant like I was, or you're domineering in any relationships that you have. You're uncomfortable taking risks. You're unable to have real rewarding relationships that are more than just surface level. In extreme cases, you might be able to interact with other people. You might be able to have positive interaction with other people, but when it comes to having an intimate, close relationship, say with your spouse and with your children, you're not able to go there. You're just so lacking in that ability to trust and open yourself up that you can't allow that intimacy in. You can't allow that other person in to your life. Intimacy, if you've never heard it before, another way to say it is into me see. You see inside of me. And that's what brings intimacy, is when you open yourself up, especially between a man and a woman, that intimacy is just so magnified when they start sharing from their heart. They start opening up and being truthful and honest with each other. And the other area is training in sonship. And I'm going to talk a lot more about sonship next week, but did you get the training that you needed into becoming a real man or woman? Did your father help you to become a true son of your heavenly father and a true son to him? Well, yeah. I'm using the sonship, and it's a gender-neutral term, if you can grasp a hold of that. In the Garden of Eden, God said, I'm going to create man and woman in his own image. The first way he expressed about the man, he said, we're going to put the man in the garden and let them take care of it. So when God first referred to man and woman, he referred to him as man. He didn't make a distinction between man and woman. And that's where I'm coming from with sonship. So when I say sonship, I'm talking about men and sons and daughters. So you need to have this ability to explore and learn about yourself and who you are, who you want to be in life, where you want to go with your life. The father needs to create an atmosphere for the child to experience and explore that about themselves. You need to create an environment where they can learn about Abba, just as I mentioned up in the spiritual training part of it. Allowing them to learn who their Heavenly Father is. Because, as I mentioned the first time we got together, the whole plan was the father and mother to give them their love needs for a while, but at some point do the great exchange and say, all right, from now on, your Heavenly Father is the one who's going to meet all your love needs. Your Heavenly Father is going to allow you to receive all the love you need, so then you have love to give away to somebody else. It never established legitimacy for the son or daughter with their connection to Abba Father. Part of the reason that a woman or a young girl will give her body to a man and allow herself to be used in that way is because she doesn't value herself. She doesn't have any value. She doesn't know what her value is. She doesn't know what her worth is because her father never really helped her establish the fact that she was a daughter, that she is connected with God, her Heavenly Father, that she is precious, that she is beautiful, and that she is somebody. And she is a special, valuable vessel in God's sight, and he loves her just the way she is. And never established social and moral standards, and how to reconcile when those standards are broken. Never created a sense of family with their child. Never developed any traditions, did any family fun, adventure things together, do things together to make them feel like a family, praying together. Never put any importance on their name. Never shared anything about the history There's a number of people that we've talked to that have no clue on either side of their parents' lives what happened in their lives or what happened in their parents' lives. They have no clue. There's been never any communication about family. And it's all about family. It's being a son and being in the family. That's what it's all about. And this whole identification of family starts in the natural with the father sharing about what's happened, what their heritage is, and what the history of their whole family is. A sense of belonging to a family. Never helped to develop their potential, their traits, their talents, their abilities, their likes and dislikes. Never helped them build any confidence in being able to do anything. And never trained how to have dominion, how to exercise authority, how to use the name of Jesus, to how to stand against sickness and infirmities, how to stand and be victorious over any circumstance or situations, in dangerous situations, demonic activities, how to stand against your enemies. You know, every king, when he has a child, hires a tutor, and that tutor spends all that child's growing up years training them how to be a king and how to be a queen, how to be a prince and how to be a princess. They get all the training on how to live in dominion, how to live as kings and queens in this world. That's part of the sonship heritage that we should be training our children with. Never discern difference between right and wrong, how to resist the devil, how to stand against temptations and peer pressure. Never been taught the privileges and responsibilities of sonship. Son takes ownership of its problem. And how many people are you around that blame shift, just like Adam and Eve blame shift in the garden? We all started to clear back then that not taking ownership for their own actions and their own situations and problems that they're dealing with. And the father never spoke any blessings over his children. Every child wants to receive his father's blessing. So the lack of sonship, unable to connect your spirit to Abba, can become obsessed with spiritual things, almost overemphasis on the prophetic or super spiritual pursuits of worship, interest in the occult, daydreaming, fantasizing, and not really getting into reality of who you are as a son or daughter. Never seeming to know what you want to do. You keep trying new things, going new jobs, never really satisfied, all seeing if something fits. Make excuses for your bad behavior and blame shift. You may take up non-human characteristics. There's a lot of kids, especially growing up, that try to see themselves as superheroes. They might have a connection to some pets or video characters or even have invisible friends, not able to make and have relationships with real people. Difficult time interacting with people and joining groups or making friends. They crave visible sources of power, wealth, position, things, their connections to other people, and ignoring the real source of all of our power, and that's Abba Father. And find security in their possessions or their job or belonging to some group, but having an identity with someone in that group. And always striving and trying to earn Abba's attention and favor. Spend just a couple minutes on the role of the father, just to emphasize some of the importance of the father beyond what I just shared. Any of those areas, you may have had good fathers, but you still may have been wounded because of a lack of what didn't happen in your life growing up. But the father is the most important person in a child's life. For the first 2 years, the mother is the focus. She's the nurturing, loving, caring one. But every mother, everybody who's had kids that watched them grow up, there's a point when dad becomes the focus, and mom is kind of in more of a caring and helping role, and the father is really the one that they turn their attention to. When I started getting into this several years ago, when we were into the Iraq War, and I heard the story of Saddam Hussein, and just really drove home how important a father is. Because he ran away from home when he was 9 years old because of an abusive father. He couldn't handle being at home even at 9 years old. And think about it. Because of that father, the way he treated his son, it impacted the whole world. One father, the way he treated his son, impacted the whole world. And that is how important a father is in the life of a child. 80% of the identity of a child comes from their father. And so a father's looks, father's either tenderness or harshness, the father's words, all that impacts a child and his identity of who he really is and his relationship and affects his ability of whether or not to receive Abba Father, a loving father, because of the way the natural father treated them when they were growing up. And every child wants to have its father's approval. They will try whatever they can to get that approval. And if it's not there, if the father either ignores them or is too busy or is unable to give them love or actually is abusive to them or hurtful, harmful to them, they are wounded and it becomes a very serious wound over the years. If you haven't looked at your lesson, you'll have to go yourself and take a look at all the different father types that are in there, and maybe you can identify with one of those fitting the father that you had. And recognizing that this is a spectrum of, there's like seven, I think there's six or seven different father images, but you may have had one that had some of the characteristics of several different ones. I don't think there's any pure abusive father or pure passive father or pure authoritarian father, but they may have had some of those traits of several different of those fathers that were listed there, and as a result, you were wounded in one way or another from them. And all those possible strongholds and all the responses to that are really how and why we act the way we do. I've talked to a number of people and some of them just don't understand why they respond the way they do, why they get angry. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to respond this way, but something pushes a button, something wiggles that hook, it's hooked into your heart, an arrow that's stuck there. And the pain is too great and it comes out either in anger or rage or some other way. The abusive fathers, that is the most impacting of all the father types that are there. And there are probably at least a couple of you here that had that type of a father experience. And it could have been physical abuse, it could have been sexual abuse, but it could have been verbal abuse. Tina's example of parents who continually tear you down, continually put you down, continually say negative things about you. You'll never do anything. You'll never be any good. And one person who said that their father said that the day you were born was the worst day of my life. And we had another son that his father said, I wish you were never born. You made my life miserable. These kind of words can be just as abusive, just as painful as the physical abuse that some of them hurt. And sexual abuse is by far the most damaging and most difficult to walk through and to receive the healing for. But God's big enough to even take you there if you were sexually abused in any way by your parents, by your father. Just a mention about mothers. We can be wounded by our mothers. Fathers are probably the source of most of the wounding. A lot of the father wounds are the ones that can be more impacting to us even than the mother's wounds. But mother wounds can be less obvious because mothers by nature tend to be nurturing and caring. And they try to be more loving and yet they can still wound us. There can still be times in our lives when we get wounded by our mothers as well. And the father creates the identity of the child, but the way the mother treats the child often impacts how they feel about themselves. How do they have a good feeling about themselves, or do they not like themselves? A lot of that can come from the way your mother treated you when you were growing up. And one of those really impacting ways is what happened to me is I was taken away from my mother. It was out of her control, but being taken away from her breast, being taken away from her cuddling, tender words and voice and things. So aunt was very impacting on me for the rest of my life until I was able to get set free from that. And sometimes, especially with boys, the way a mother treats a boy growing up can often affect their sexual orientation as they get older. Quite often, homosexual men are a result of wrong treatment by their mothers growing up, and they just have a totally negative outlook on life against men, and a lot of times lesbian women are that way because they have a very negative outlook towards men. And it might have been several men, or it might have just been their father that caused them to pull back and pull away from a natural relationship with a man, a person of the opposite sex. And the way the wounding comes from mothers is the lack of things like affectionate touch, or being touched the wrong way can also be a hindrance. And if the mother used her hand to discipline as well as love, that can be very confusing to a child. And certainly the slaps are very demeaning and devaluing. If you ever got slapped in the face as a child, especially from your mother or your father, that can be very impacting to your life. And the eye contact, a lot of spiritual communication is through the eyes. And if you look into another person's eyes, you can tell a lot about that person just by watching them and observing their facial expressions and looking into their eyes, because it's a direct connection to your spirit. And the tone of voice, how you were talked to by your mother, can really be very important as well. And it very well could be because your mothers were wounded themselves, just like your fathers may have been wounded. A lot of young girls are wounded growing up, and they end up wounding their own children. But now we want to move into some area of allowing the Holy Spirit to bring some healing in some of these areas. And you, by reading your lessons, we've had several people mention to us that it already started getting you in touch with some of these painful memories, some of these painful experiences that you had from your mother and father growing up. And if that has begun to awaken in you, then I want you to pursue that, whatever way the Holy Spirit is taking you. If there's specific things, specific events, specific things that happened to you that were painful, that were hurtful, I've mentioned some things tonight that have helped you identify or get in touch with some of that. That's the area the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you tonight and as we move forward. But first of all, I want to make sure that we don't have any blocked emotions. I did this when we had the wounding, and I want to do it again. So I want you all to say out loud with me, we're going to call forth those emotions in case you have stuffed emotions, in case you have built walls around parts of your feelings and emotions to try and control them. I want to bring those up. A wound not identified is a wound that cannot be healed. If you can't get in touch with the pain can't be removed. And so we've got to allow our emotions and feelings to get back in touch with those areas where you were hurt or wounded. So I want you to repeat after me. I bind any hindering spirits from stopping what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life tonight. I command you, body, to release those emotions.
I command your body to release those emotions
that you have stuffed for all these years. My life.
My life.
I loose every emotion and feeling.
I loose every emotion and feeling.
To come out now in the name of Jesus.
Come out now in the name of Jesus.
Now the other thing that you need to be willing to do is to submit to the Holy Spirit to come forth. So I want you to get your prayer of submission. It's in, should be in the back of your folder. We've also read this one out loud, and I want to read it again on the healing of past wounds. Because you need to have your spirit and your whole self submitted to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do tonight. So let's just read this out loud. I choose to submit my will to you, Father. I humbly confess and repent of all my sins, and I receive forgiveness and cleansing through the shed blood of Jesus. I repent of any way that I have given place to the enemy in my life. I choose to close all open doors that have let the enemy trespass in my life. I am your son, and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I shall have victory as I submit myself to your healing and transforming process. I ask you to set my body and soul free so that I can choose to praise your name. I ask you to reveal the deep and hidden things to me that I have held in darkness, those deepest secrets inside me. Father, I ask you to bring those things to the surface that you want to heal now. I ask you to unlock those areas in my heart that I have kept closed from you and others. I give you permission to remove the roots of any hidden memories that are affecting my life. Help me get rid of any deception, denial, or hindering spirits that may be blocking my memory and hindering me from receiving my healing. Father, please be with me as I walk through any past hurts or pains. Because you love is for me, I know that you will not reveal more than I can bear. Before we get started, I want to share a poem that will, I believe, touch your heart as it touched mine the first time I heard it. It's just the expression of a woman who wrote this poem about her own experiences. It's called The Greatest Man I Never Knew, by Reba McEntire. The greatest man I never knew lived just down the hall, and every day we said hello, but never touched at all. He was in his paper, I was in my room. How was I to know he thought I hung the moon? The greatest man I never knew came home late every night. He never had much to say, too much was on his mind. I never really knew him, and now it seems sad. Everything he gave to us took all he had. And the days turned into years, and the memories turned to black and white. He grew cold like an old winter wind blowing across my life. The greatest words I never heard, I guess I'll never hear. The man I thought would never die has been dead for almost a year. He was good at business, but there was business left to do. He never said he loved me. Guess he thought I knew. I want you to begin to get in touch with the memories of your mom and dad the Holy Spirit wants to deal with tonight in your life.
As I was sitting over there, standing, waiting for Rick to finish, I just really sensed that there may be one specific memory that the Holy Spirit's already brought up in your heart. It may have been something you've forgotten. It may have been something that you think is really tiny. Sometimes we think it's a big thing that's going to make a difference in our lives, but I think sometimes it's just those small things that we wanted our mom or dad to do for us, but they didn't. It's those things that we're missing. And for some reason tonight, a friend of mine has gotten into oils, and she really saw us as being healers, and gave us some different oils to anoint people with. And so tonight, I'm going to just come around as you're starting right now to just get in touch with some of that pain and anoint you with oil. It's an oil called forgiveness. And I'm believing God is going to allow you to be able to forgive those places that you may have forgotten, those places that are really hard. And as I said earlier when I was doing my object lesson, what happened wasn't right, but it's your response that you're responsible for. And therefore, it's important for you to be willing to forgive and let it go. And it may not just be connected with your mom and dad. You may have first have to forgive your mom and dad, but then there may be a teenager, there may be an adult that needs to forgive some pain as well. So if you can't think of one specific thing, start where God takes you, and I believe it will help you to go forward to all of it.
We were created to be loved perfectly and unconditionally. We were born with the expectation that our parents would love us perfectly and provide for all our love needs. We were not even aware of our first lack of love. Most of us have a love deficit, but we're unaware of it. We just know that something is missing, and we want more. There's a hole in our heart. I want you to start getting in touch with that little boy or that little girl that didn't get their love names met. You need to go back, allow the Holy Spirit to take you back. And you need to deal with those painful memories. If you had parents that misrepresented the Father's love to you, and they were wounded themselves, they might be very painful memories that you need to deal with. We may not have had a severely wounded parents growing up, but you still missed receiving all the love that you needed and all the love that you were expected to receive growing up. You may have had a domineering or controlling mother who never let you become your own person, ruled your life and took you where she wanted you to go and molded you into who she wanted you to become. Maybe you were forced to take the role of an adult. Maybe there was a parent missing in your home, or a parent that just wasn't there, and so you were forced to take on that role yourself, a role that you never were meant to take on. You missed out being a child. You missed out on all the experiences of growing up and experiencing all the fun of growing up as a child. Maybe you never heard those words from your mom or dad, "I love you. You're beautiful. You've got what it takes to be a man. You can do it." You were never encouraged. You were always put down. You always pointed out all the faults that you had and never anything positive spoken over you. You may have felt that no one ever noticed you in your family. Maybe you were born into a big family. Maybe you were in the middle child. There's no attention given to you. Maybe they forgot your birthday. Maybe they never paid any attention to any of your achievements. Maybe they never came to any of your sporting events. Maybe they never were there to encourage you when you had a problem, when you had a difficulty with school or difficulty in a relationship. There was nobody there to comfort you when you had your first breakup of in dating and the boy of your dreams or the love of your first love of your life walks away from you, and there's nobody there to comfort you, to help you get through that painful time. Maybe you felt like your parents were just cardboard figures. No feelings, no emotions, no ability on their part to connect with you in more than just very surface physical need met things and never emotionally or spiritually connecting with you. They were there, but they really weren't there. Maybe your dad was away a lot of the time. Maybe he had a job where he had to be out of the home for many days or weeks at a time. You just didn't have a father when you needed somebody to hold you, somebody to hug you, somebody to encourage you. Maybe your dad never played with you. Maybe you never had an opportunity to get to know your dad or to get to know your mother. They were always too busy. They were always caught up in their own world. They had their meetings to go to. They had their job to do. They had to take care of the house. They had to fix the car. They had to work in the garden. Whatever it was, it took them away from you and time with you. Maybe your parents just didn't feel comfortable with love themselves. They didn't know how to love. They didn't know how to show any feelings of love towards you. Or maybe your parents, just out of their own pain, were abusive to you. Maybe you got beat up. Maybe you got slapped. Maybe you got shoved around. Maybe you got laughed at. Maybe you got humiliated, or maybe you were embarrassed by your parents. Maybe you had a drunken father or a drunken mother. It was unsafe. You felt unsafe in your own home. You didn't know what they might do next. Maybe you were touched the wrong way by your father or by your mother. It made you feel unclean. It made you feel dirty. Maybe your dad said things to you that made you feel dirty. Maybe your dad looked at you the wrong way, with lust in his eyes. And it made you feel unclean. Maybe he watched you take your clothes off, take a shower. Maybe you felt like you were responsible for problems that your parents were having. Maybe there were nights when you cried yourself to sleep listening to your dad beat your mother up, slap her around and hit her, yell at her. Maybe you heard the screams down the hall. Maybe you heard your father's swear word. Maybe you were afraid to even go home. Maybe you were afraid that when your dad came home, what he was going to do. Afraid to go to sleep at night because you weren't sure what might happen later on that night. Get in touch with all those painful memories and experiences that you may have walked through. God didn't want you to have those experiences. God didn't want you to have the parents that you had. He wanted you to have loving parents. And He hurt every time you hurt. He hurt every time you felt alone. You felt used. You felt forgotten. And He was there every time anything happened to you. And I'm going to pray a prayer, a Father's prayer for healing. The only way to get free from this pain and get free from these painful memories is to forgive and take whoever it was to the cross and forgive them. They tried to be the best parents they could, and they just weren't able to do anything more than that because of their own wounds, because of their own hurts in their own hearts. And they just didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to treat you the right way, to train you up the way you needed to be trained. And so you need to be able to just forgive. And it's more than just the adult sitting here in these chairs forgiving. It has to be that little boy and that little girl that looks at his dad in that painful event, that painful time. It's, "Dad, I forgive you. Mom, I forgive you. I release you and I let you go." And you need to take all those painful memories and all those painful times and all the things that should have happened that didn't happen, that left a wound, that left a hurt in your heart, and take those to the cross and give them to Jesus. Because Jesus said that He would take our pains, He would carry them. He took it all to the cross, and so you can give it to Him and let it go tonight. And Father, I just lift up all these people here tonight as they deal with these issues from their past. Father, that You would come as their comforter, Holy Spirit, that You would show them what really happened. Just fill in those places where they were wounded and hurt. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. Everything I pray may not apply to you, but if something strikes you in a painful area or a painful memory, or strikes you as true in your life, then you need to pray that out loud and forgive as I go through this prayer. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You that You have always loved me. There's never been a day in my life when You haven't loved me. You loved me through every one of these painful memories that I have. You loved me every time I was disappointed, hurt, forgotten, unloved. You continued to love me. Every time that something bad happened to me, You still loved me. And I can rest in that love tonight. The Father, I choose to give forgiveness. I choose to give the gift of forgiveness. I may not feel like they deserve it, but I choose to forgive anyways. Because I know now that my dad was not able to do any more than he was because of the hurt in his own heart. I know now that he wasn't able to give me love because he didn't have any love to give. He wasn't able to receive love himself. And so how could he give love to me when he didn't have it to give? And I choose to forgive him because You love me and because You forgave me. And because of Your love, I can choose to love my dad now and forgive him. So Dad, I forgive You for all the times that I needed Your help. I needed You to give me some instruction, to share Your experiences, to share Your knowledge, to help me to even do the simple things in life. I forgive You for not helping me to develop that trust. I forgive You for not helping me to walk into sonship and the whole understanding of being a son. I forgive You for all the things You didn't do that I needed You to do in my life. All the instructions, all the ways that I ended up making mistakes. I ended up making bad choices. I ended up embarrassed and ashamed. And You knew what I needed to do. You knew the right thing, but I never heard it from You. I forgive You, Dad, for the times when I needed a hug. I just needed somebody to hold me because I was hurting. Somebody made fun of me on the playground. A bully at school knocked some books out of my hand, and all the kids laughed at me. I needed You when I didn't do well on that test and felt really bad and stupid about myself. And I needed somebody to encourage me. But You weren't able to, because You weren't there. I forgive you, Dad, for forgetting to pick me up when you were supposed to. Girl, I forgive you, Dad, for those times you promised to do something with me and you found some other reason why you couldn't. You promised to get by me something and then you didn't follow through. You promised to help me and then you were too busy. I forgive you, Dad, for all those times you sat in front of the TV. I just wanted to talk to you. I had something I needed to share with you and you just sat there staring at the TV. I forgive you, Dad, for walking out on Mother. I forgive you, Dad, for abandoning us, our family. You didn't even tell us why you left. You just left one day. I forgive you, Dad, for all those blank stares, all those disapproving looks that you gave me when I didn't quite perform the way you thought I should. I wasn't good enough. I didn't play well enough in that game. I didn't work hard enough to get good grades. I messed up that woodworking project. I forgive you, Dad, for all those times you laughed at me. You thought the mistake that I made was funny. Forgive you, Dad, for not helping me to know what to do in life and what direction to go with my life. Forgive you, Dad, for yelling at Mom the way you did. Oh, how it hurt. I was scared. I was afraid they were going to kill her at times, the way you hit her, the screams that I heard, the threats that you made. I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you, Dad, for that time you came into my bedroom. You violated me. You made me feel so dirty, so ashamed. Forgive you, Dad, the way you talked dirty to me. It made me feel unclean, the way you looked at me. The lust in your eyes. I forgive you, Dad, for the way you hit me. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. You beat me up. You kicked me. You slapped me around. You shoved me against the wall and I hurt myself. And then you just walked away with a disgusted look on your face. I was some scum, some worthless person. I forgive you, Dad. I choose to forgive you and I just take all these painful memories, these painful thoughts, these hurts in my heart, I just take them all now and I take them to the cross and I say, Jesus, here, take these out of my life forever. Remove the pain and remove the memories from me. I release my dad. Father, Dad, I give you a gift of forgiveness now. I release you from the debt that you cannot pay me. I let you go. From now on, I choose to look at you through the cross. I choose to look at you through the finished work of the cross and what Jesus did, setting you free and setting me free. I choose to walk in love. And I choose to love you, even though you may still not love me. Now, Father, I just pray for everyone here. Father, I just pray that you fill the voids, that these memories are gone now, and we've given up our earthly fathers, and we may feel like orphans right now. So, Father, you said you would not leave us. as an orphan. You said that you would not leave us and not make us your sons. You said that you would become a father to the fatherless, that you would fill all that gap that we need, that we didn't get, all the love that we didn't get growing up from our earthly fathers. So Father, I just pray now that you just wrap your loving arms around each person here tonight and let them receive the love of a loving Father. Allow them to receive your love. As they release the pain, they receive your love. So pain's out and the love comes in. The old painful memories are gone and the joy and the hope and the love comes in. Let's begin now to receive his love. Crawl up on Abba Father's lap, put your head on his shoulder and into his chest, and let him wrap his loving arms around you, for he loves you with a perfect love, for he is the perfect Father. He is Abba. He is now your daddy.
I'd like to start now and stand in for your mothers. Some of you may have begun to realize that it is the wounds that we don't acknowledge that hurt. We, as women, are more in touch with our feelings and are prone to needing relationships. And when our mothers are not able to be there to protect us or other things, it's very damaging. And so I'd like to start right now with standing in for your mothers and asking forgiveness for the time before you were ever on this earth when you were still in her womb. And some of you may or may not know what happened during that time, but I can tell you after what I had shared last week that we realized that there's often wounds that happen before you're born into this world. And so I'd like to stand in and ask your forgiveness. While Rick had you forgiving individually, I'd like to ask your forgiveness. I'd like to stand in for each one of your mothers and say, forgive me for my sin against you, my child. I'd like to say that I was so excited about you coming, but unfortunately, for some of you, I did not rejoice over the news that I was pregnant. You see, I was feeling very vulnerable. It wasn't the right time, and it wasn't the right place. And the person that was the father to you was not the one that I loved, nor the one that I wanted to be your father. But it just happened. And so while you may have always felt there was something wrong, it was because you didn't feel wanted. You didn't feel that you belonged or had a place in my heart because I was so focused on everything else. So I ask you to forgive me. And oh yes, your father was rather violent. So there was not a feeling of a safe place. It wasn't safe after you were born, but it wasn't safe when I was pregnant with you. So forgive me for not even helping you recognize that the world could be a safe place. And most of all, I ask you to forgive me and your father for how we wanted you to be a boy instead of a girl. We wanted a girl instead of a boy. And that caused you so much confusion. That caused you to feel so rejected. And so much that you almost hated yourself. So I ask you to forgive me for all the ways that I caused you pain before you ever came into this world. And especially how it led to you having an identity crisis that you felt you needed to be the tomboy because that's what we always wanted was a boy. You had to achieve in sports because that's what I wanted. I didn't know how to affirm you as a boy and affirm you as a girl the way I should have. Forgive me for not nursing you at my breast and causing you to feel uncomforted and having unexplained fears and anxiety about life because you weren't sure that life was a safe place. Forgive me for all the ways that I hurt you once you were a child. All those years of growing up when you wanted my approval. When you dressed yourself as a young girl and you just came and wanted me to say, oh, you look beautiful. And instead, I was more concerned about what you had chosen to wear. Forgive me for all those looks of disapproval that devalued and brought shame to you. Forgive me for all the times that my looks ended up saying that you were a failure or that you didn't measure up. And forgive me for being too busy. Forgive me for not taking time to simply listen to your heart. Forgive me for all the ways that I said things were more important than you were. Forgive me for having to work outside of the home and you got the leftovers. You got just a little bit of time, the little bit of attention, but not what you needed. Forgive me for how that caused, even possibly you as a boy, to stutter and not feel that anything was important because I never gave you the time just to get out what you wanted to share with me. I wasn't able to give you what you needed. Forgive me for controlling and manipulating you as my daughter to do what I wanted you to do when I wanted you to do it. Forgive me for my high standards and the ways that I wanted everything done. My way. How my ways became so rigid that it caused you to really struggle. And also, forgive me for how that caused you to feel you had to live life yourself. All of the times when I wasn't there. All the times when I was working outside the home. All the times when I was focused on my own relationships and not you. I caused you to grow up long before it was time for you to grow up. Forgive me for not letting you be a little girl, a little boy. Forgive me, especially for all those firstborns, for putting more responsibility and pressure on you than I should have, and my expectations were far higher than you needed them to be. Whether you're a boy or a girl, forgive me for how I caused you to miss out on just having fun. Forgive me for not making our house a fun place where fun was a part of life. Our house was so serious. Our house was so cold. Our house was so focused on everything else that we never took time to have fun. Forgive me for all the harsh words that I spoke. But most of all, along with those words, was the tone of voice. Oh, forgive me for the way I crushed you with my tone of voice. That my tone of voice was so demeaning. It was so disgusted with you at times that you felt you could never, ever please me. And then there were the times when I screamed and hollered because your brother or your sister or your father was doing something that really pushed my button. Forgive me for all the ways that I allowed the hollering and screaming in our house to become so strong that it caused you to feel like you didn't know what was going to happen next. that it might just be a major bomb bursting or an explosion, even for the times when it got so violent and the screaming and the yelling between your father and I was so intense that you feared what was going to happen next. Forgive me for not being able to affirm you with those loving, tender looks and those precious tones of voice that you desired and needed. Forgive me for using my hands the wrong way. I never held you when you needed to be held or comforted, but instead I pointed my finger into your face and I told you what you did wrong or what you should have done and you didn't do. Forgive me for the times when I was not able to control my own anger and I quickly hit you when I didn't even expect to do it. But forgive me for staying in a home where you knew it was abusive, that I let your father abuse me, and I let him verbally abuse me, and yet I stayed. Forgive me for being a coward and not leaving. Forgive me for not being strong enough to leave when I knew I should have. Forgive me for not valuing you enough to protect you. I see now how much I let other people hurt you, abuse you physically, sexually, and I didn't protect you, my daughter. I didn't protect you from all the pain and the shame. And forgive me for making our home rigid, cold, and simply a building, a place where everybody lived in the same house. But there was no warmth, there was no tenderness, and there was no ability to connect to each other. Forgive me for not valuing you, for not valuing you, my precious son, my precious daughter, for not affirming your gifts, and for not allowing you to know how special you really were. Forgive me for not speaking a blessing and blessing you with my words, but only telling you what was wrong. And forgive me for not introducing you to a Heavenly Father who loves you. Forgive me for passing my fears on to you, for passing my strongholds and my thoughts about men on to you. Forgive me for all the lack of affection I showed you, and for all the name-calling that I spoke curses over you rather than blessings, for calling you dumb, stupid. You'll never amount to anything. What do you think you're doing? And go take care of that. You take care of it. Oh, forgive me for being weak to the place where you ended up being more the parent than me. Forgive me for being so unable to function that you had to take on the role of being the parent, of taking up responsibilities you never should have had to take on, for never having been able to be a little girl, a little boy. Forgive me, son, for not protecting you, not stopping your father from hurting you or yelling at you. And when you became a teenager, I really didn't know how to handle teenagers. And I sort of just let you do it your own way. I let you set your own boundaries. I didn't guide you. I didn't direct you. I only had expectations that you'd do it all right rather than doing it because it was the right thing to do. Forgive me for not comforting you or affirming you when you had your body go through changes. and you didn't feel real comfortable about yourself. But I didn't affirm you being a man. I didn't affirm you being a woman. Forgive me for substituting you for my mate, for my friend, for my confidant, for my place that I could cry on your shoulder. I wanted you to be strong rather than just being a teenager. Forgive me for all those unhealthy ways that I related to you and caused you to miss your childhood. To control your destiny and say, this is what you should do, not looking to what God had gifted you in, and it caused you confusion. Forgive me for placing my demands on you and for trying to live out my own life through you. Forgive me for my rigid high standards that caused you to feel you could never reach my approval. And right now, forgive me for all the ways that I failed you. The ones I verbalized and the ones that I haven't. And I ask your forgiveness. Would you please find it in your heart to forgive that mother of yours and all of her shortcomings? Forgive me. So I'd just like you to pray a brief prayer and say, Mother, I forgive you. I forgive you for all the things you did that hurt me. For all the times when I wanted your love, your touch, your listening ear, and your approval. And I release you. And I break all the ties that weren't right. That would keep me bound to you in all the negative ways. I gather all the things now and I take them and put them at the foot of the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you took and died for this sin and all the negative behaviors. I give you my mother. And all that happened in the past. And I leave it with you. I forgive my mother of the debt she could never pay. And I release her. And I choose to forgive her now. I give her to you. And I walk on beyond the cross. From this day I will see my mother through the cross. And know that you are taking care of her. I'm no longer responsible. And I choose to embrace you. As the one with a mother heart. That will always look at me with love. That will never not have time to listen. You always listen. You comfort. I take you to be everything I need. In Jesus' name. I'd like to pray a blessing. Father, I pray for every son and every daughter that you would awaken their spirits and they would be fully able to embrace life. For all the things that happened before they were born, I call forth their spirits to life, to the life that you've destined them to be, a gift to the world, a gift filled with a destiny that only they can fulfill. Call them forth to be all of the woman, all of the feminine being that you created them to be. I call them forth to be all of the man that you created them to be. And I pray over them that they would feel Their purpose is not what their mother wanted, but what you now call them forth into. That whatever was in the past is cut off by the blood. And Father, I release them to have the divine purpose that you always wanted for my son and my daughter. That they would know that you are the God who created them and has plans for good and not evil to give each one a future and a hope. So if you don't know your purpose, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that. I break the power of every negative word, every curse, every negative thing that each one of their moms may have spoken. And I speak life, purpose, and destiny over each one. I pray that they would be blessed. Blessed in their homes. Blessed in their marriages. Blessed in their interaction with other human beings. Whether they be male, whether they be female. Blessed in every way, Father. That the places where their relationships got twisted and distorted because of their mom.